here on the Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark Jewelers is on Broad Street here in Elyria, right across from the hospital. They're a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. That's Vandermark Jewelers. Dave, great to have you on, as always, my friend. How are you?
Good to be here, Bo. I'm doing okay.
You covered some uplifting stories over the weekend, and we're going to come around to the one that you did on the Good Nights Bed Blitz on Saturday. That was really, really cool with Roger Dorsey and company. But I want to begin with one of the coolest alliterations that I've seen in quite some time, in Democracy and Donuts. And apparently they were both going on in Lorain on Saturday. So what was this all about?
So I think this is really kind of a nice, you know, small business story, as well as a nice story about democracy in general, you know, in Lorain County. And honestly, that was the situation that took place out in front of Martyrs and More, which is a new bakery in on Broadway Avenue, 763 Broadway Avenue in Lorain, between 10 o'clock and about 2:30. There were members of the Lorain County Democratic Party who were registering people who wanted to vote. And then any of the first 50 people to register to vote got a free donut, courtesy of Lorain County and Lorain City Democrats. It was really, really nice. I think there was a good, from what I saw, there was a pretty good, mix of people who came by. You know, even a few people who were pretty clearly, you know, Trump supporters who were very, very polite, very nice, and came by and said, "Hey, I'm not looking to register to vote, and I'm not exactly on your guys' side." And, you know, they had Biden and Harris signs out, out front, for a donation, but they were coming by just to taste some what I'm being told are very delicious donuts. Don't mean to be too much of a commercial, but if you're interested in baked goods, you know, go check out Martyrs. But this was an opportunity, the volunteer said, to just get people interested in the upcoming election. Let them know what the rules are, you know, how they can vote, and what the deadlines are, and how best to exercise their civic duty to vote. So it was really just kind of an interesting way to, you know, both support small business, you know, introduce the small business to community, as well as get people involved in the electoral process.
And I thought you pointed something out that was very interesting there. The fact that you did have people on both sides of that political spectrum, but despite that, it seemed like things were very, very peaceful. And maybe it was just the donuts talking, because sometimes if you have a sweet tooth, it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you stand on. That kind of has a tendency of bringing people together. But I think the underlying message here is very simple, that they want people to vote, because that's really the most powerful tool you have as a citizen.
Absolutely, and this is just kind of one way, you know. And there was a really good kind of walk up crowd. I thought it was really nice to see a lot of people walking on the new sidewalks and walking along Broadway down there on a Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, And there were a couple other a couple charity events going on. There was a walk for suicide awareness that was happening, and there was a nice little charity event at the Arts, the Arts Council up the street for some folks in need. You know, it was nice to just see people out there walking along the sidewalks, checking out, small businesses, in downtown Lorain. And also, it doesn't matter who you're going to vote for. It's like everybody who is eligible to vote has the ability to register, to go out and to exercise their political beliefs. And that's the system that's the nice thing about our system, is that you can go out and do that.
Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. I mentioned we'd come back around to it. You got to cover the Good Nights Bed Blitz on Saturday, where over 100 beds were built for kids in Elyria. Tell me about that experience. That had to be a ton of fun to cover. We've had Roger Dorsey on the show before when he was part of a different organization. They did a lot of the same things, but, you know, it really seemed like it was a fun event for you to cover, because 100 beds being built over the course of an afternoon, that may not sound like much, but really, that's a ton, and what a difference that's going to make moving forward.
And this really was, when you rolled up on the scene on Saturday, I mean, it was like watching an anthill in full tilt, full business, just worker ants running around, carrying one thing to one place and going back and carrying something to the other place. I told a couple of people while I was out there, it's like you really have some hard workers out here just carrying, headboards, mattresses, footboards, side rails, running to get, to get lug nuts and coming back with lug nuts and a drill or a electric screwdriver, just really just hustling to put together between 90 and 100 twin size single or bunk beds for the children of Wilkes Villa out there off of Fuller Road in Elyria. Roger Dorsey was out there, and he is the new executive director of Good Nights of Lorain County. The president of the organization is Jeff Baxter, and they're slowly building up their board of directors. But again, like you said, Bull, Roger Dorsey had been involved with Sleep in Heavenly Peace, which is an organization that had been around here for a while. And then there were some changes in leadership, and he decided to move on and start his own gig. But hey, two organizations that are providing children who may not have had a bed in the past, their own bed to call their own, who has shared a bed or sleeping on, sleeping bags or sleeping in a closet on a pile of clothes. There are children all over the place, Roger Dorsey said. He told me that it's about between 2-3% of the population, which means there's about maybe 6,000 to 9,000 children in Lorain County who don't have their own beds to sleep in. And he's trying to reduce that number so that every child has their own bed to sleep in.
And one of the things that kind of blows you away about an event like this is that it really shows you the power of people. They've got the tools there for everybody to use and kind of contribute. And I know in the past they've looked for volunteers to come in and help out. And he said, even if you don't have a mechanical bone in your body, right, or if you don't necessarily have a handy bone in your body, we'll teach you, we'll show you exactly what you have to do. But what really kind of stands out is the fact that, again, the power of people can do so many things. Building 100 beds over the course of an afternoon, that really is a pretty terrific accomplishment, and as you said, it's going to go a long ways.
Absolutely, and there's a web presence for this, and if anybody wants to donate their time or their money, or feel like they might be able to do some good through this, go to goodnightsoflc.org. There's also a Facebook page, and this is something that you can tell when you talk to him. Roger Dorsey really cares about this. He said he and his wife have been truly blessed, in their lives, and he said he grew up sleeping on a floor, sleeping in a closet. When he and his family moved up here from West Virginia, in the early 1980s, and he's gone on to kind of turn his blessings into for the benefit of children, throughout Lorain County.
Again, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Dave's appearance is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. And Dave, I want to kind of take a different turn here. I know this isn't necessarily local, but one of the cool things about following Dave O'Brien on Twitter, and we encourage all of you out there tuning in to give Dave a follow on Twitter if you feel so inclined. Very simply put, Dave's Twitter handle, @DaveO'BrienCT. That's @DaveO'BrienCT. I know you're a big fan, Dave, of the true crime stuff going on around the country, and you follow heavily the missing persons stories as well. You've tweeted a few of these out over the course of the last few days, and I'm not so sure that interesting is the right way to use this, but I mean, these things do make for some pretty interesting follows. So as you take a look at some of these, which ones have the most interesting stories?
Well, I think there's some, it's sad that there are people out there who don't know where their loved ones are. I've always felt that, and I don't think that's I don't think that's necessarily an opinion that anybody doesn't share. I mean, there are people who go missing in this country every year, thousands upon thousands. I don't even know how many thousands go missing, and a lot of times, young people especially, they're said to be runaways. People who are kind of in their early 20s or maybe to their late 20s are said to be, people who just want to go off and start new. And there are people up into their 30s, 40s, 50s who family members say, hey, they wouldn't normally go missing. And they tell the police this, and the police say, well, is it possible that they just decided to start their lives over? And again, there's nothing to say that if you're over the age of 18, you can't just decide to pick up and move and go somewhere else because you're an adult. And that's what makes some of these investigations difficult. But I've partnered, in a very kind of amateur manner with a couple gentlemen who run an organization called Private Investigations for the Missing. And, you know, very recently I tweeted out one of these about a 22-year-old woman named Casey Elise Peterson who went missing September of 2013 in Manhattan, New York. She was attending classes, and she just kind of up and disappeared. There may have been some issues with amnesia, with some, you know, with a brain injury or something like that, but she's been missing since then. And that's when she was last seen, when she was attending classes at the John Jay School of Criminal Justice. She's been missing for 7 years now. And these guys are really good about putting things out, you know, on anniversary, right? You know, Sharon Ivy Jones disappeared from Norfolk, Virginia. She was at a friend's wedding, September 22nd, 2002, has not been seen again, left in her red Toyota Tercel, you know, and never seen again. So it's really kind of upsetting, I think to a lot of family members, to police, you know, officials who are frustrated by not having any leads. And you know, there are people in Lorain County who are still waiting for justice for their missing or murdered family members. And I think that's a really important thing. If the least I can do is get the word out, you know, I think it's really I think it's really something that I'm called to do. And if we can get the word out about missing or murdered persons whose cases have not been solved, and we can help, you know, families, you know, find out where they are, if they're okay, or if they're not, you know, get them some justice, you know, or at least, you know, push the police in one direction or another, or get police some tips and hints and clues and leads to follow so that they can possibly figure that out. I'm no police officer. But if I can put the word out, and if the media can put the word out on these missing persons, you know, maybe something will fall into place. Maybe somebody will say, hey, I know who that is. Or, hey, I remember seeing that person later, long after they were reported missing. So it's, you know, one of those things that we've been focusing on at the Chronicle Telegram has been the murder of Angela Hicks. You know, 30 years ago, she would have turned 44. You know, back in June, and she was found murdered and dumped by the Midway Mall in 1990. Now there are a couple people who are suspects in this, you know, in this particular situation. The family thinks they know who did it. But that's one of those cases where, you know, we're going to keep following on that until there's some sort of, you know, some sort of end result, some sort of closure, you know, if that's even possible.
And this is something that we will come back to, because, I mean, I knew a little bit about your tie-in with that, too. But I think it's always something to come back to, because it's very important, because you're right. I mean, I think families get so frustrated because they feel like they've reached a dead end. But, you know, you always hear something, right? Like, see something, say something. You always hear that phrase tossed out there when it comes to a missing person. I think that becomes very, very important. All right, Dave, we'll wrap up the way we normally do with this week's scanner stories. Which kinds of good ones did you come across over the past 7 days?
Well, real briefly, I'm going to give you. I feel like sometimes we target the poor city of Parma a little bit too much, but I'm going to give you this great one that I saw the other day. Dateline Parma, gas leak somewhere in the city. Gas company has deemed the scene safe. It was due to the operation of a Zamboni without the proper exhaust fans in use. And according to our friends at NeoScan, @Neo_scan on Twitter, this is certainly the first Zamboni emergency that we've heard here.
I didn't know those things were running right now, but apparently they are, man, smoothing out the ice and getting ready for hockey and figure skating and, well, whatever else the Zamboni needs to smooth the ice for. But always great stuff, Dave. We always appreciate you giving us a few moments of your time. Always love the insight. We look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Sounds great, guys. I'll be around.
Thank you, Dave. Again, that's Dave O'Brien joining us on the local beat here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. See Jim and Bob and the whole gang down at Vandermark Jewelers. They're on Broad Street right across from the hospital here in Elyria. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. Visit them in person. You can also visit them online to see what kinds of things they've got in their inventory at VandermarkJewelers.com. That's VandermarkJewelers.com.